the chapter. I'm sorry. We're going to go all the way to the end of the chapter. So we're going to finish out 13 today. And like every message I prepare, I pray about it, I labor on it, I read, I go back, I read some more, I look at what other pastors are saying and teaching. I just, the whole nine yards, I just research it, pray about it, and I always end up getting really, really at a point going, where am I going to go with this? Where's God leading me in this? And then it always happens that I'll either get a text from somebody or something on Facebook. Yeah, as stupid as Facebook is. I'm like, that's what I'm preaching on this Sunday. And that's kind of the angle I was kind of looking at, but I wasn't sure. And then and it just kind of reconfirms where I was going with things. And one of the things the Lord had on my mind this week was, unless we humble ourselves, guys, as a child. You know, he says, these are the ones that are going to enter in. And dear, while we were singing, I'm back there with the Spanish speakers. I call them Spanish speakers because they're from all different countries. You can't just say the Mexicans, because there's Colombians, Mexicans, Venezuelans, Peruvians, Spaniards. They just don't speak English. Latino. But I'm back there with them, and they haven't heard of the New Covenant. They haven't heard of it. They were raised Catholic. You know, most of them came from a Catholic background. And a lot of Baptists haven't heard of the New Covenant. A lot of Method, a lot of Presbyterian, a lot of, like, you would call mainstream denominations. You say New Covenant, and like I say, you used to think of that as the crazy church down the street. Oh, there's a New Covenant church down the street. They're crazy. But no, it's what we are under. Jesus said, I make a new covenant with you. This is my blood. We just commiserated the Lord's Supper. This is my blood, which is shed for you. And we got to remember, when we're reading the Bible and when we're reading the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when Jesus is saying these very hard things that we can't understand, you know, sometimes he's very harsh with his words. No, you cannot follow me. No, I'm not going to feed you. I only came to the children of house of Israel. Know this, know that. And we said, man, Jesus is being very harsh. You know, and he calls out the Pharisees the most, which are, of course, our what I call modern day country club church people, right? That want to pretend. We call it fake it till you make it. I call it fake it till you don't make it. Because you can't fake it with the Lord. He knows what's on your mind, the thoughts before you think them. He knows what's on your mouth, on your lips before you speak it. That's the God we serve. And Jesus calls the Pharisees out many times and says, I know what you're thinking. I'm going to go ahead and jump in front of you. And we're going to go into that a little bit today. But we got to understand, the new covenant did not start until Jesus died. His blood was shed. So everything we read before that, we tend to think of Jesus' birth starts the new covenant. No, it's his death that starts the new covenant. So now when we read the Bible, it's a whole new Bible. And we can kind of understand it a little better. So let's go to Romans. And the title of this message is Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, with a question mark. And if you notice, I have below that in parentheses, only Jesus. Only Jesus can love his neighbor as himself. We can try to, but we'll fall short every time. I did a little poll, unofficial poll. I told you guys, my undergrad was psychology. We do our research on how people think, how people react to different things and stuff. Did a little poll, called up a couple of Christian friends of mine. Hey, what do you think about love your neighbor as yourself? You think you can do that? One person laughed in my face. These are Christians now. The other person, my son's, hit it dead on the head. He says, Dad, only Jesus can do that. I said, you hit it dead on the head. And other people were going like, wait, what did you just say? Can we love our neighbor as ourself? I don't think so. I'll give you an example. I've given two cars away in my life. at me. Two cards away. They were pieces of crap. They had 200,000 miles on them. The tires were falling off. They had all these problems with them. If I love my neighbor as myself, what would I do? Get in the car, Bubba. Let's go down to Carl Malone. Let's pick you out a car. Which one would you like? Because that's what I would do. Every time I've given money to someone, I've never felt like it was adequate. Never. Every time I've been in a third world country and I'll see somebody helpless or something, I'll say, you know what, you need, only thing you need some food, man. You're skinny. Only to get down the road and God tapped me on the shoulder and goes, that's the best you can do, Chuck? Is that the best you can do? And I'm walking around like this. If we loved, truly loved our neighbor as ourselves, invite him in your house. Hey, don't pick out any of the used clothes here before you invite him in the house. Don't give me your leftover clothes, the clothes that you're done wearing. How many people have given clothes away that they're done with? How many people have taken somebody to Neiman Marcus and say, pick out whatever you like. Let's go on a shopping spree. Maybe a few of you have done that. How many people invite someone into their own house and say, no, I'll stay in the guest room. You stay in the master room. It's the best. This is where I would stay. So we're all indicted when we come to the commandments. This was one of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We don't even love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind. We can't even do that. We're always putting something before him, even us Christians. So what do we do, Chuck? Well, there's a better way. Faith in Jesus Christ. He can do it. I can't. I can't do it. He did it. I'm not going to be able to do it. He will do it. I couldn't do it. He did it. It all goes back to Jesus. And so let's dive into Romans 13, 8 through 10. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Did you hear that? Who is love? God. And we're going to go more into this. The commandments. Here's Paul going back to the commandments. He's going to reindict everybody. Just how Jesus did. When Jesus called out the Pharisees, when the Pharisees were coming to him, he told them all the time, hey, what, you know the commandments. Do them. Basically, he's saying you don't do them. So he says, the commandments, do not commit adultery. Well, Chuck, I've never committed adultery. If you're a man, you're a liar. I'm not going to talk to the women, but if you're a man, you're a liar. Whosoever shall look upon another woman with lust. Because, see, Jesus comes around and takes the commandments and says, I'm going to raise the bar. If you think you're so good, why'd you look at the woman with lust? Whoever commits murder, do not commit murder. Jesus comes along and raises the bar. I haven't never murdered anybody. Yes, you have. Whoever looks at his brother with contempt in their heart has murdered him. Whoa. Okay, so I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. Do not steal. I've done that before. Do not covet. I've done that before. The law leaves me hopeless. In fact, the law shuts everyone's mouth up. That's what Scripture says. And they're summed up by this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Can we do that? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. You ever done your neighbor wrong? And it doesn't have to be an act of commission. It can be an act of omission. For the one who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Wow, we're all indicted. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Well, who is Jesus? I thought Jesus fulfilled the law. He's pure love. God is love. Jesus fulfilled the law. Love fulfilled. You can replace that name right there. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. With Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, 11 through 12. Besides this, since you know the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. How many of us are going through life sleeping, guys? What did Jesus say about the disciples that were sleeping? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can't even watch with me 1 hour? Time to wake up, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans 13, 13. Let us walk with decency as in the daytime. Because when do people do debauchery things? At night, under cover of darkness. Why is that? I don't want to be seen. Why is that? Because I'm doing something wrong. Oh, that's why we like dark. That's why men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil, the Bible says. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual impurity and promiscuity. Not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So let's go back to 13, 8 through 10 here for a second. Do not owe anyone anything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here again it says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Matthew 5, 17 says this. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. The law still remains, and it still indicts every single person. So there's only one other choice. I'm either going to try to do it on my own and try to keep all the commandments. And by the way, there's 613. Did we say that? Not just 10. I'm going to either try to do that, or I'm going to go the way of faith in Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. And he's going to make me righteous. Because I've tried making myself righteous. What happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? They sinned. They knew it. And they hid. And then they tried to make their own religion. Fig leaves. I'm going to cover them. And God says, no. It's not good enough. Blood must be shed. Therefore, he took the animals, the innocent animals, signifying, here's, put these skins on. Now we can cover your sins. But nowadays, we are New Testament. We're New Covenant. Our sins are taken away. Amen? Understand these basic differences, because most people don't understand them, guys. Covering of sins happened in the Old Testament. You take the blood of bull and goats, and you go once a year on the Day of Atonement and said, priest, and stand before a Levite priest and say, I have sinned. He would kill the goat, sprinkle some blood on you, go. Your sins are covered. But come back next year, because I know you're going to do it again. Whatever your sin was, I know you're going to do it. So they go out and sin again and come back the next year. And they had to do it over and over and over and over. And when I was young growing up in the church, after every sermon, I thought I had to go home, go front and be saved. I just don't know if I'm saved or not. So I would just go up front. I need to be saved. Well, dude, this is about the 50th time you've been up here. Are you trusting Jesus for your salvation and him only? Yes. You're saved. Go back and sit down. Okay. But I needed to be reminded of that because I was living under the old law. And I would get up and do something crazy or stupid or something sinful every day. And I had a friend call me who used to go to this church. And you guys know him very well. And I won't even say his name. He is a on fire kid for the Lord. He called me crying in the phone. I'm like, man, what's going on? I don't understand. I just keep sinning. And I don't understand why. And I love him so much. And I spent 20 minutes on the phone with him, talking to him about, dude, you are righteous, you are holy, and you are blameless because you're trusting in the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only way you stand. And we have to remind ourselves of that. So he says, I've come to fulfill the law. Jesus, Matthew 5:17. Romans 3:19-20 says this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are subject to the law. Are we subject to the law? Not if you're a believer. You have transcended that law. You have now been interjected with you have now been like, your DNA has changed. You're a new creation in Christ. You're not under the old law. And it says, so that every mouth, who is subject to the law, so that every mouth may be shut. And the whole world may become subject to God's judgment. For no one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law. Because the knowledge of sin comes through the law. We used to be so bad before the law was given to Moses, we didn't even know what sin was. So God said, look, let me explain this to you guys. This is holy. This is not holy. Okay, we're going to do what's holy. Did they ever do it? No. Therefore, Jesus, there's one coming that's going to do it for you because you can't. You want to be perfect? Jesus says, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor and then come follow me. Anybody in here ever done that? He told this to the rich young ruler who had all this money. And he said, Jesus said, well, what have you been doing? Well, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. And the good young ruler had enough pride about himself to say, I've kept all of those. Because he doesn't understand yet. He's a sinner. And Jesus calls him out on it and says, then go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And follow me. Then you'll be perfect. He walked away sad. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Did he do it? No. He didn't keep the first commandment. He put his possessions before God. So the disciples are listening to this and they're going. And then Jesus goes on to say, well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person enter the kingdom of God. Disciples are hearing all this stuff and they're going, Jesus, you're kind of upping the ante here. We had the law. Now you're coming in and saying, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, I used to preach that, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. That's kind of rough. Now I say, yes, he meant that. That's exactly what he meant. How many people have only one hand in here? How many people have only one eye? We can't do it. We can't do it. So Jesus ups the ante. He says, and disciples are going, wait, this is impossible. And so when disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished. They said, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Have you ever been there in your life when you're looking at impossible things in front of you and you're going, I don't see any way out of this. I don't see any hope in the future. I talked to my park rangers last week. The first thing I tell them when they come in is never lose hope. Because if you lose hope, you're done. His name is Jesus. He's our only hope. With God, all things are possible. Love your neighbor as yourself. Malachi says this, yet you ask, how have we despised your name? By presenting defiled food on my altar. How have we defiled you, you ask, when you say the Lord's table is contemptible? When you present a blind animal for sacrifice, is it not wrong? It's supposed to be an unblemished animal. And when you present a lame or sick animal, is that not wrong? They were giving God their leftovers. That's what we do to our neighbors. We give them our leftovers. And he goes on and says, and when bring it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you or show you favor? Wow. Indicted again. You hit me right between the eyes there, Lord. I would not dare give the governor a sick or a blind animal or a blemished anything. I would buy the bet. The governor's coming to town. I need to get him something. Let's get him something really nice. Something very expensive to show him honor. They weren't even doing that to the Lord. He's saying, take your leftovers and go give them to your governor and see what he thinks about it. Two dangers of performance-based religion. One is pride. Feeding your pride. Look how good I am doing. How many religious groups do we have out there? The first thing you will say, you need to come to my church. Let me tell you what my church is doing. Let me tell you what we're doing. Let me tell you what we did last year. Let me tell you how many people we baptized. Let me tell you people how many were saved in my church. Let me tell you my church is the only true church in my church. My. We as believers should be talking to people saying, let me tell you what God has done for me. That's how we should start every conversation. Let me tell you what God has done for me. You got about 3 years? Maybe the rest of my lifetime I can tell you the goodness of God and how he rescued me and brought me out of the miry pit and put my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth. Praise to the Lord. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this. God, I thank you. I am not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. That's one of the dangers of performance-based religion. The second one is it ministers condemnation. I can't love that sinner. That despicable person. I can't. I know, God, you told me to love my enemies. I know, God, you told me to love my neighbors. I can't do it because they don't look like me. They don't talk like me. They don't dress like me. They don't act like me. They don't believe like me. And us Christians are even so far as to argue about, we've had people leave the church over the craziest things. Oh, you don't believe tongues is a gift for the modern church? I'm out of here. Oh, you don't believe in the doctrine of Calvinism? I'm out of here. Oh, you don't believe you have to be baptized, water baptized to be saved? I'm out of here. We can't even come together as believers. And yet we look at the world and we're like, it ministers condemnation. I can't do it. For the ministry that brought condemnation had glory. What's the ministry that brought condemnation? That was the law. The ministry that brings righteousness overflows even with more glory. So those are two dangers we're going to run into. So love your neighbor as yourself. Let's talk about this good Samaritan guy. Who is my neighbor? There's this expert in the law. And it said he stood up. Expert in the law. And he stood up. And he asked a question. He said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded by asking him a question, which he did a lot. Jesus would turn around and say, well, what do you say? What are their commandments? He says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet. Do not lie. Jesus says, you have spoken rightly. He says, but the guy says, then, but who is my neighbor? And he told the story. He said, there was a certain man from Jerusalem who was walking down the road. And he ran into a bad guy who beat him up. Said left him half dead. That's a pretty bad beating. This guy was definitely in need of some attention. And it said a pastor, a Levitical priest, saw him and walked by him on the other side of the road. You ever seen somebody coming towards you that you didn't particularly like and you kind of went, I'm going to kind of duck in this little hallway here till they pass by? There used to be a guy at Fletzy. Every time I saw him, I went, oh God. He would see me way down the hall. We had this huge gymnasium. He would see me, hey, Chuck. And here he comes. And I'm like, oh God. And he came up to me one time and kissed me on the lip. And I said, don't do that. I don't like that. I'm sorry, man. I just love you. I said, okay, have a good day. His name was Chuck, too. Or you see somebody, at church, you don't like, you're like, I need to go get some coffee. A pastor walked by the half-beaten dead man and didn't do a thing. And then along comes a pastor in training. Says a Levite, pastor in training. He sees the beat up guy over there. He walks around on the other side like he did not exist. Not my problem. Sorry you got beat up. Not my problem. I'm busy. I'm impotent. You ever hear something? I'm impotent. I got things to do. People counting on me. I'm in a hurry. I don't know you. We used to say, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? No, I don't know you. Don't take your check. Back in the day, you wrote checks. You go to a store, don't know you, don't take your check. Now we got Venmo. Then a Samaritan comes along. Now, who were the Samaritans? They were the most despised people of the time. They were equivalent to like dogs. In fact, the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady at the well, said, why are you speaking to me, you being a Jew, when Jesus was speaking to her? They didn't even speak to Samaritan. You're so low, I don't even recognize that you exist. The Samaritan that was despised, the most despised person in the society at that time, goes over and attends to this guy, helps him up, gets him to an inn, feeds him, clothes him, bandages him, dresses him up, and gives the innkeeper money and says, I'm coming back this way, and if you need more than that, let me know. I'll pay you more, but take care of him. Because you see, the expert in the law is looking for a loophole. Because if you're telling me I got to love my neighbor as myself, well, what's your theology? What's your income status? What do you believe? Who are you voting for? What do you like to eat? What do you like to drink? Where do you like to vacation? What color is your skin? Because if you're telling me I need to love my neighbor as myself and they look a lot like me, and they talk, I can do that. Because I like me. Which brings up a whole other point. How can you love your neighbor or yourself if you don't even love yourself? There's some people that have a hard time even loving themselves. And I know a few people. Because they don't understand their significance in Christ Jesus. And you have to center them on that and say, are you worth dying for? They'll say, no. I say, well, yes, you are. Because he did it. He died for you. The very living God of everything, the creator of everything, the savior of everything, the Lord over everything, died for you. Thought you were so significant and so important, he wanted to shed his blood and save you and bring you back to him and redeem you as his. Now think about that for a minute. But this guy's looking for the little loophole, because if I can find a loophole in what Jesus is saying here, then I might keep this commandment. So Jesus asked him, says, which one do you think treated this guy as a neighbor to the expert in the law? And the expert in the law said, the one who showed mercy. And what did Jesus say? Go and do likewise. Now we can do that. You ever heard the saying, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy? We can show mercy. How can we show mercy? Because we've been shown mercy. Amen. We've been shown mercy. We've been shown grace. We've been forgiven. How can we not forgive others? That's a hard one. Well, I'll never forgive that person. Well, didn't Christ forgive you for everything? Not just some things, everything? Then how can you hold anything against your brother? Go and show mercy. Go and do likewise. And I just wrote these down. I can't, he can't, I can't, but I know a guy. I didn't, he did. I can't, he can't, I won't, he will. This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I love this passage of scripture. Because every time I start beating myself up and realizing how unfaithful I am, I go back to this and I go, even when I'm unfaithful, he's faithful. I cannot uphold the end of my bargain, but he can. I'm going to be like Peter and I'm going to cower when it comes cross hanging time. I don't know that man. I don't know that man. Christ even forgave that. So he can forgive you for whatever. And as we walk through life, I say, listen, we got to understand who we are. We got to understand that we are righteous. And a lot of us are running around, believers, that we have been taught wrong, that we're still sinners. And we're still, no. If you have put your faith and believed in Jesus Christ, whoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. For anyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him, I will raise him up. I will give eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we got to remember not to beat ourselves up, because God's not beating us up. God is loving on us. And when we get into that performance-based religion and we say, you know, I'm not doing very well. I'm not behaving very well. Or I fell down again and I did this and I did that and I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. You know, like my conversation with my friend this week, he's crying on the phone. I don't know why I keep sinning. I love him so much. I said, he's faithful when we're not. So we walk and let the love of Christ control us, the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, peace, and we show mercy and we show grace. And this is the light of the world. This is what the world most desperately needs, is a light to show them the way to Jesus Christ. And if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us understand, Lord, you love us anyhow, anyway. That agape love that you love us with, Father, that we will never understand fully. We will never fully understand your grace. We will never fully understand it, Lord, but we can accept it, Lord, because we have faith in you. To know that you have made us righteous. You have made us holy. You have made us blameless by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. In who we put our faith. Thank you for each and every one that are here today. Touch them, minister to them, guide them in all truth, lead them in all truth as you do by your Spirit. Heal us of our physical ailments. Renew our minds. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name.